So today we have a huge goal, and the goal is to transform your life. And the way we transform your life is to teach you how to think in a different way. Now, this isn't brainwashing. You don't have to forget everything that you learned to appreciate what you're going to learn here. And as a matter of fact, what you already know is going to help supplement, is going to improve and increase the value of what you learn here. It's kind of like the example of the NBA star who takes a math course. He's bringing in a lot of money. He is having a lot of opportunities with income that he's never had before. And then he learns some things about math or budgeting. And they don't teach him how to guard a player or dribble the ball better. They don't help him work on his handle, but they teach him things that he can do to improve his life once he gets paid for doing that great stuff with the ball. If somebody works in a labor union or they work with people and they learn about psychology, not because it helps them directly in their job, but it helps them understand where people are coming from. What people want, what motivates people, and that can help them in whatever they're trying to do as far as their profession. And so, what I'm going to try and do is teach you a skill that's going to help you no matter what profession you're in, because it's a very important part of everything we do in the kind of society that we live in today. And what I'm going to teach you about is the law and how to use it in your everyday life. Now, I know a lot of you are going to be that you're going to turn me off right here. You're going to be like, the law is the most boring stuff I've ever, thought about. I don't want to have anything to do with this. I don't want to hear a whole bunch of legalese. I don't want to be lectured to. It's not like that at all. What I'm trying to do is just give you real life examples of how you can think like a lawyer and basically give you a kind of a confidence in your everyday life that you've never had before. I'm going to call it swagger. And so this podcast is called the Law Swagger Podcast. And the goal really of this podcast is to give you a chance to transform yourself, kind of to make you into you 2.0. Because I'm going to teach you how to think like a lawyer in your everyday life, right? And I'm not, this is not, a whole bunch of lectures. It's just stories, it's just experiences. And it's lessons. And once you learn these lessons, you'll be able to use them in everything you do. How do you think like a lawyer when you go to the doctor? How do you think like a lawyer when you get pulled over? How do you think like a lawyer when you're in a relationship or looking for a relationship? How do you think about a lawyer? How do you think like a lawyer when you're trying to do some home renovations and you need some help? Or even if you do it by yourself, how can you think but like a lawyer and skip a whole bunch of steps and make it much easier and safer to renovate your home? What about dealing with vendors in your business or clients? What about renting an apartment or buying a house? I mean, we have to think like a lawyer throughout our everyday life, and if we don't do it properly, we can get destroyed. And if we do it properly, we can find opportunities to make money that we never would have even thought of. And my mission in this podcast is simple. It's to give you this knowledge, it's to give you this training so that you can go into any situation and you're not just you're you with legal swagger. And you get this without having to go through, 3 years of law school, graduating Harvard Law like I did. You don't have to work for a federal judge like I did and operate a law practice for 20 years. You don't have to do any of that. I mean, all you have to do is just listen to these common sense tips. No legalese, I promise. I'm just going to walk you through what you need to know to be a better person by using the law in your everyday life. I'm going to give you that legal swagger and allow you to be something that's much better than you were before, and that puts you so far ahead of the people, it's going to look stupid. So that's what I want to do for you in this podcast. This is the pilot podcast. This is the first, and this is the introduction to what we're gonna do and learn. And so you have to let me know. You have to comment if you like it, if you like the idea, and comment about what you want to see. But there is a ton of content that I can easily put up, and that I will be putting up already, because there's so many things, so many ways you can use this in your everyday life, no matter what you do. I've had hundreds of clients, businesses, individuals, other lawyers, and you see the same patterns, the same mistakes. People get into problems and they come see me because they do the same things. And then they can't get out of the problems because they won't do the same other things. And I want to put you out ahead of all of that stuff. I want to give you information that puts you ahead of all these, a lot of them are lawyers, doctors, folks that I've represented that made mistakes that you don't have to make. And that's what I want to do for you is give you that edge. And this is especially true for people of color, as I am. I'm an African American male. We are very afraid of the law culturally, because it's been used to oppress us in so many ways. And it's really the reason why I became a lawyer. I grew up in the Deep South, and everywhere I went, there were people with agendas that were telling me that I couldn't do this and I couldn't do that because they didn't want me to do it because I was black. I had a great potential career as an engineer. I graduated Stanford University with an engineering degree. But I was like, it's funny that I feel like there's just something fundamental that I don't know. I'm good with the numbers, but I don't feel that I can get my point across and know the rules of the game so that I can do best at winning it. And so something told me, you really need to get into law. I remember walking in a department store, and I was a teenager. I was, trying to stay fit and do things, and one of the things I wanted was a weighted jump rope. And I was at a department store in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I'll never forget it. I was about 18. I think I'd come back from college and freshman year, and just wanted to get a rope so I could do some rope work at home. But I liked the weighted handles, and I just asked the one of the store managers, can you point me to a jump rope? And he looked at me with the most hateful expression, and he said, "We don't have any damn jump ropes." Now, you know what was funny by that expression? I knew as soon as he said it that he absolutely had jump ropes. I mean, that's how much hate was that was in his eyes that I saw. His position was, "I don't want you to get anything that you want. And so I'm going to do whatever I can to just hate on you. Just make sure that you can't get what you want from this store." And so when he emphatically said that there were no jump ropes, I knew that there were jump ropes, and I actually went and found the jump rope and bought it. And that was that. But I mean, it was just the idea that there are people out there who will go out of their way to tell you what you cannot do, and quote to you some rule that doesn't exist because they just don't like you. And it's not because you did something, it's because of who you are, how you look. They have prejudged you. And they've decided that they don't want you to have anything good out of life, and they want to make sure that they remain an obstacle to that. I experienced a lot of that in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and that was one of the reasons why I said, I could be an engineer, and I love a lot of the traits that engineers have, and I love numbers, but I need to know the rules, because it doesn't matter how good I get as an engineer, someone could take my job or cheat me out of some benefit, and I'll never know what to do. I'll never know how to approach it. And so that really became the reason why I decided, I think I'm gonna do something, even something that my parents weren't really as crazy about. They really wanted me to be an engineer. and or a doctor, but there was just something about knowing the rules of the game and feeling like, you know, if I don't know who's cheating, then I can't really play this game. And that's really what got me the motivation to want to enroll in Harvard Law School and finish out there and start, you know, my career as a lawyer. So now that I'm a seasoned lawyer, you know, got the salt and pepper on my head, you know, put in, you know, 20, 25 years in this game, I'm just amazed at how much people don't know about what they need to know to survive. And I'm not talking about lawyers. I'm talking about everyday people who do all of the wrong things in their life. And, they'll come to me, but often it's after so much mass destruction has happened in their lives. You know, they've lost houses. They've had kids taken away from them. Their freedom's been taken away. And, you know, they want my help, but, and they'll get my help, and I'll get them out of a lot of jams, but, you know, it's very expensive, it's very stressful and laborious for them, and it didn't have to be that way if they just knew how to think. And so my goal here is to get you to that point where you'll never get in that situation because you know how to think. And, you know, the flip side is that, hey, you know, look, there are riches here if you just know how to play this game. And I want to put you onto that too. I want to really allow you, especially young folks, young professionals, you know, people are still kind of learning how this game works and, you know, how this whole society works. You know, you're new to this because you're a young adult. Listen to me, listen to this podcast and skip some steps in your life, you know, and take this 20 years of legal experience and use it so you can really avoid some of these landmines. And also for people who are, you know, middle or late in their careers, you know, there's a lot to think about for you folks too. And just because you haven't been, you know, sunk yet doesn't mean you can't be. And often you already have, and you think you know how to get away from the next one, but you won't even recognize the next one because it's going to come in a different way, and you won't be prepared because you still haven't learned how to think. So, I mean, this podcast is for all of you. This is the beginning of a journey that will progress with each podcast. With each time that we talk, you'll learn more about how to navigate through your life in a way that gets you the most. And you will get closer and closer to that Zen state of legal swag. And so without any further ado, I want to move right into lesson one, because this lesson is like the most fundamental lesson of legal swag, and it's so important that I'm going to give you this. I mean, there's some paid subscriptions on Patreon that I intend to have with this podcast, but this one's going to be free because for two reasons. One, because it's so critically important to your life that I just don't want to see anybody suffer because they don't get this lesson. Two, because if you do want to, you know, progress through the land of legal swag and, you know, learn more of these lessons, it's kind of like, you know, the Matrix when they give you the red pill or the blue pill and they say, look, you take the red pill and you can join the Matrix. And you take the blue pill and you'll never have to worry about the Matrix again. You just pretend like it didn't happen. But this is that red pill. Like, if you can't internalize the lesson that I'm about to give you, you can never enter the land of legal swag. Like, that is how important this pill is. So basically, if you can't internalize this lesson, I don't even think I want you to join my site, because I don't think you've got the ability to do what needs to be done to move forward to get to that state. And everything that I'm going to teach you builds off of this one fundamental principle. So if you can't do this in the podcast, don't worry about me. You know, we're probably not a good fit. But if you can do this, then, you know, you can go to the next step. You're taking that red pill, and we can start, you know, walking you through the plan to improve your life. And so the lesson is, and it's going to sound really simple and silly and stupid, but then, believe me, there's a whole lot more to it than just the three words that that summarize the lesson. But the lesson is open your mail. Open your mail. Okay, so you're like, you know, open your mail. What the hell is that? Like, what do you mean, open your mail? So let me give you some clarity here and some specifics. When I say mail, okay, obviously you should open every email you get. You know, those are important. But I'm talking about snail mail. I'm talking about the hardcore postal service, you know, stuff that comes into your mailbox, anything that's in an envelope and has paper in it, you need to open it, okay? If it has packages in it, normally people do open their packages. I'm not too worried about that. But if it has documents in it, if it has a single sheet or if it has 500 pages, or if you don't know how many pages are in it, you just, you know, you see an envelope that looks like it has paper in it, it is the most important thing you will ever do in your life to open that envelope and any other envelope you get in your snail mail as quickly as possible. Okay, that means, you know, you don't wait a month, you don't wait 2 weeks, you don't wait 1 week. You open your mail every day. Okay, if you think it's junk mail, open it anyway. If you think it's a bill and you think you know what it's going to say in there, open it anyway. Pay special attention to the following types of mail, right? Anything that comes from a government, either state, local, federal, all right, that's a priority. Open that the quickest, okay? Because that is the type of mail that can have serious and dire consequences if you don't open it, potentially. That could, you know, lead to disaster, basically. And you know, a lot of clients I get, you know, they come to me because they just haven't opened a letter, right? And so what I'm trying to let you know, and I know a lot of you folks are young and you're thinking, you know, well, you know, snail mail is so passe, and oh, it's just so, you know, do we even do that anymore? I don't even have a mailbox, you know. I get mail at my friend's house and I have a P.O. box I never check. Okay, look, the way the law works is it averages about 10 to 20 years behind the rest of the industries, right? So, you know, what we do in law, we look back. We tend to look back in the law. It's not like the tech companies where they're just looking forward. In law, you look backwards. And so, you know, what happened 10 years ago is often more relevant in the law than what's happening right now. I know it doesn't make any sense. I know it is kind of like the Matrix, and like I said, it's the first step. But the fact is that, you know, the laws that determine most of what you do, most of what you're obligated to do, most of what, you know, the state would have to tell you if they're going to take away your house, if they're going to suspend your driver's license and make you eligible for jail, if they're going to take away, cut off your utilities, whatever it is, okay, their obligations end at sending you a snail mail letter, okay? Not an email, not a phone call. You're not going to get those. You're going to get a snail mail letter. And it's going to look, you know, it's going to look like it's junk mail often. It's not, sometimes it may not even have a clear address on it. You know, it may look like maybe a plain envelope, okay? But inside that envelope could be the fact that, you know, your house is being foreclosed on, or, you know, whatever the issue is. You know, you could be looking at a major jailable criminal offense with a huge fine. You know, you may just get a letter with a court date, right? But if you don't open that letter, you will never know when that court date is, okay? Please, if there is any lesson you learn from any episode in this podcast, please take this one to heart. And this is like, this isn't law swagger. This is like, you know, kindergarten law. I mean, this is like, you know, preschool swagger, right? I mean, you know, a preschooler level law swagger is what you're looking at here. Like this, you've got to do this to even be in the basis for being in the game. And you got to do it on a regular basis. So, you know, what that means is the mail has to come to you, right? So mail going to your friends, mail going to, you know, some people enroll their kids in different schools, and so they give out different addresses for letters to go to, and you've got, you know, this for this purpose and this for this purpose. And we'll get into, you know, enrolling your kids in schools in different counties, because there's huge issues with that. But the idea, what I'm trying to say, is that you should never have a relative receive your mail. You need to receive your mail. If it's addressed to you, it needs to go to you, and you need to pick it up. And, you know, it needs to come to your house, right? It needs to come somewhere that's right where it's very easy for you to get it. And that's assuming that it's safe for you to get it at your house. If your house isn't a safe place to get mail, or if you're worried that somebody will steal your mail, then, you know, the nearest safe place. But, you know, it shouldn't be any place that's locked away from you. You should be able to get your mail at a moment's notice, and you should be able to check it every day. And you should check it every day. And if you want to have basic legal swagger, I need this from you, okay? I mean, if we're going to go on this journey together, I got to have this from you. And so, you know, please do this. This will get you well ahead of people that you know that don't check their mail. And you'll see, because, you know, you'll start having conversations with them, and they'll start telling you about all this horrible stuff that happened to them. And, you know, well, you'll ask them, well, did you get a letter? You know, just the next time somebody tells you something about something horrible some government did to them, state, local, federal, whatever, some benefit they didn't get, or, you know, ask them if they checked their mail every day and read the letters every day, you know. See what they say. You'll be surprised a lot of times. And so that's the key right there. Okay, and obviously, you know, I'm focused on the negative a little bit. There's a huge positive side to opening your mail. You know, obviously, if you get their checks that people mail out all the time. And, you know, a lot of folks, you know, if they owe you money, it's very easy for them to mail you a check, knowing that, you know, 10, 20% of the folks won't check their mail. And, you know, often people kind of make that calculation in their business decisions, especially with things like rebates, for example. You know, I don't know if you back in the day when they had the snail mail rebates, you know, they knew that a lot of people would not even cash their rebate check, you know, and they factored it into their decision on whether to offer rebates, because they knew that, you know, they said, well, let's do it all by mail, because a lot of people aren't going to check for their rebate check, and then, you know, we'll be able to keep that money essentially, or at least hold on to it longer, because we'll get the interest rate on all that period when they don't open the mail and cash the check. So there's a lot of good things in the mail. Obviously, you know, unclaimed money that, you know, there's, if you're getting a new credit card, they're going to put it in the mail, and they're going to make it look like it's just a piece of junk. They design it to look like junk because it's a security issue. They don't want the average person to think, oh, this is a credit card, let me go and steal this person's mail. So a lot of times, you know, envelopes that don't look like much tend to have some of the most important things in them. And so, you know, you got to look at every letter to make sure that you know what it is. And that means that you got to read a lot of these letters. And some of them will be junk, obviously. But, you know, even with junk, you know, there are offers that, you know, there's always people making offers in the mail, right? But some of them may be good for you. You know, you just have to read it to find out. If you assume that every offer is bad, then you know whatever percentage of the offers that are good for you and can really help you, you'll never know about. So it's good to at least see what people are putting out there for you in writing. I always appreciate getting offers in writing rather than have somebody call up my phone, interrupt my day, and give me a big spiel. You know, I'll tell them, you know, and we'll get into this in the podcast too, later episodes. But you know, if somebody's cold calling you, you know, your response should be put it in writing. You know, I don't make decisions over the phone. You put it in writing, and that means that I have a return address, I have a return phone number, and I have all of the promises you made in a place where I can keep them. So if you're telling me any lies or if you're a fraudster, you know, the police know exactly where to go and who to call. And, you know, that's something that, you know, we'll be talking about as far as you applying it in your everyday life. When people are making you promises and making you offers, you know, you're going to be telling them, hey, you know, I don't want to hear this over the phone. You know, you can send me an email with your information and state the offer clearly in writing, and then we can talk. You know, otherwise, or send in the mail. Otherwise, I don't want anything to do with you because I don't think you're real. You know, I mean, that's kind of the implied message there. So, anyway, it all comes down to reading your mail. Even the mail that doesn't look like it's important. And, you know, because this is all information, right? We live in the information age. And what you have to realize, the internet is a beautiful thing, but a lot of the information that relates to you, a lot of the most important information for you, is only going to come through snail mail. I know it's not chic, I know it's not modern, I know it's not convenient, but that's because of the way the law is set up. The law was designed over snail mail. Courts still use mostly snail mail. If you're in a state court, federal courts are different. But courts still aren't electronic yet. Lawyers have to run to the courthouse and go run to the post office. Still happens all the time. So as long as that still exists and our country is still based on that legally, you've got to be familiar and comfortable with snail mail to stay on top of this game. 20 years from now, it may change. But for right now, to protect yourself and your family, you've only got one choice if you're going to get to legal swag. You've got to open your mail, and it's got to come to you, and you have to go through every letter, and you have to do it within a reasonable amount of time. If you don't open your mail within 24 to 48 hours, that's not good. You know, you gotta remember, it's a lot of this mail has already spent 3 to 5 days getting to you if it's coming from the other side of the country. So, you know, you want to open it quickly and just make sure it's not something that's important. Now, if you've got a lot of mail and you're like, you know, I don't have time to open it all today, I think we talked about how to prioritize it. Anything from a government comes first, right? And then, you know, pay special attention to anything that looks like it's designed not to look important. That should come second. So if you see anything that looks, you know, really blank and just doesn't seem to have much information on it, give that a priority too, because that tends to be stuff that is designed to look subtle so that it can't be stolen. It tends to be more sensitive stuff. And these are general rules, right? There's always going to be pieces of mail that break these rules. But, you know, if you're looking for what's most important to pull out first and open, because you can't open it all right now, which, you know, I don't believe you, but I'm gonna let you go with that. You know, the stuff to open first is government stuff and the stuff that looks really discreet, right? And you've seen when you get a credit card, you've seen how that looks, right? So stuff that looks like that, you know, open that quickly as well, because it's there's obviously somebody's trying to deal with a privacy issue. At least that possibility is there. Okay, well, this was our first episode of our Legal Swag podcast, and I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it gives you an idea of what we're going to be doing here in the future with future episodes. I'd love to get your subscription so that I can do this full time and put more episodes out there more quickly. And so I'm gonna ask you to support me. If you know, you have the opportunity to favorably comment. to subscribe. Please do all of that and let me know that I'm doing something that's worthwhile, and we will continue with this journey, and we will get you completely into the realm of legal swag. Thanks a lot.